T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Yeah!
So it is.
The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Donner Show here on 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com on the computer. Or on your smartphone, the radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. If you'd like to get in via the phone lines and share your wisdom with us, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Or you can get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22, but please do not text and drive. So hell of a day for CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo, the oldest player at 33 to net a hat trick in a World Cup match. And he's become just the fourth player to score in 4 consecutive World Cups. So he's been doing this for a very long time.
Also the first ever player to score a hat trick at the World Cup against Spain.
Oh, that's right. Which also happens to be the country where he plays for Real Madrid and the same country that caught him evading his taxes. And he just had to pay them off for 18.8 million euros today. And God, that's a real kangaroo court they're running over there in Spain. So Cristiano Ronaldo slapped with a 2-year prison sentence, but he doesn't actually have to serve it, right? Now, at least that's a consistent law. I had to do some research on that today. Because admittedly, when I see Cristiano Ronaldo agrees to a 2-year prison sentence, but doesn't actually have to serve a day of it, obviously you're going to think, oh, he's probably getting special treatment because he's Cristiano Ronaldo, right? That some random dude in Barcelona is not going to get the same treatment that Ronaldo does. Apparently for first offenders for nonviolent crimes, you don't actually have to serve your sentence in Spain. So I guess Ronaldo technically is not getting away with something there. All I can say is I'm sure Wesley Snipes wishes he lived in Spain, because when he got slapped with tax evasion, my man did hard time for that.
Maybe K2 should have moved to Spain.
Oh, God. He might just want to move off of the face of the earth at this point. So K2, Kellen Winslow II. Every detail we get for his arrest just looks worse, right? We had the breaking news during my show last night that Kellen Winslow Jr., Kellen Winslow II, has been charged for 9 various counts of sexual assault and kidnapping charges, right? Pretty horrific allegations against him. And we have more details. This posted a couple hours ago on ProFootballTalk.com. Police say former NFL player Kellen Winslow II spent months targeting older women for crimes, including 2 women he kidnapped and raped. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports that Winslow, who has been arrested and is currently in jail, kidnapped and raped 2 women in May. One was 54 years old and one was 59. Winslow is also accused of burglary with intent to rape a 71-year-old woman, and it gets even worse, and burglary with intent to rape an 86-year-old woman, both in June. What is going on in this man's head, allegedly, right? Because again, these are charges, not convictions, but my God. Winslow was also briefly jailed last week on suspicion of burglary. A neighbor who saw him walking into a residence confronted him and called the police, and he was arrested shortly after driving off. All of the incidents happened in the San Diego area, where Winslow grew up and where his father, as we remember too well, was a Hall of Fame tight end for the Chargers. Winslow, too, was the 6th overall pick in the 2004 NFL draft and played 5 years for the Browns, 3 for the Buccaneers, and had a brief stint with the Seahawks. Brief stints with the Seahawks, Patriots, and New York Jets. I mean, if even a shred of these allegations are true, what is going on in that dude's mind, right? To be a presumably wealthy. I mean, I don't know what he did with his money from his playing career. I mean, who and he also had family money with his father being an NFL player. So presumably a well-off guy financially, right? Former pro athlete, good looks, charismatic, great shape, right? I'm sure a lot of women would love to spend time with K2 just based on those factors alone. Good looking, charismatic, athletic, well-to-do financially, former pro athlete. The idea that to get his kicks, he has to go out and allegedly kidnap older women for sexual assault. Okay, that's got to be a sickness, man. It's got to be a sickness. And a couple people were texting in yesterday. Dono, I wonder if CTE is going to come into play here. That would have to be some powerful CTE, man. I mean, listen, I know that CTE can like intensify certain delusions. It can intensify depression. I've never heard of CTE making you want to sexually assault somebody. Now, I don't want to sound ignorant when I say that, because maybe it could warp his mind so much, but I don't know if you can give him that benefit of the doubt. Like, if any of this is true, it sounds to me like a cop-out to say, well, CTE is at it again, right? Because I think if you're a great human being who, under normal circumstances, would not want to commit crimes and wouldn't have these sort of perversions, I find it hard to believe that CTE is just going to make that happen out of nowhere, right? Out of nowhere. Maybe it can intensify certain things you're thinking already. But this is some pretty disgusting stuff, man. Pretty disgusting accusations against a guy that any Miami Hurricane fan, God, the memories you have of K2 on the field. The big catches, the touchdowns, 4th and 16 from Brock Berlin in that West Virginia game to save your asses. And now this. Whew. I have a feeling this story is only going to get worse and worse the more info we have, man. Let's go to the phones. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Manny, this is Jerome on the line, right?
No, it's Messi.
Oh, Lionel Messi on the line?
Yeah.
Lionel Messi, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening, brother?
Oh, it is Brother Jerome. Brother Jerome, how you doing, man?
All right, how you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling very well, man. 2 days away from my first Father's Day, which I will cherish, and watch some good World Cup action today, so I'm doing all right. How about you?
All right, man. Hey, man, I'm happy for you, man. You know, Brother Alice, when, you know, my early Father's Day, you know, they were like, you know, they were exciting and everything. Don't get me wrong and everything, but Alex, you do go into that as they become teenagers and all that. But once you get them out, all of a sudden you can start, you know, beating your chest a little bit and say, hey, look, bring that Father's Day on, you know.
Right, bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on, you know, and. And, you know, whether it's a gift or no or nothing, or just something simple, take me to a movie, whatever, Brother Alex, it's all good to me as far as I'm concerned, because they're just raising them to be grown, and, you know, hey, I'm thankful to God that I was able to contribute that much in their lives. So, you know, that's basically what's so great about it for me.
I love
you know?
It. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Brother Alex.
Yeah, I mean, one day when he's a teenager, I'm going to have to remind my kid. Do you know how many of my T-shirts you ruined by throwing up all over me, spitting up on me, kid? Come on, tighten your game up, baby Luca. Tighten your game up, man. So in the other department of the ridiculous, right, from the Kellen Winslow accusations, the charges against him, to LaVar Ball, you see this? So LaVar Ball, this from probasketball.com, probasketballtalk.com, with some quotes from the Washington Post, which is where the full interview came from. LaVar Ball has become one of the NBA's most famous, infamous characters. Father to Lakers point guard Lonzo Ball, LaVar has expertly crafted a larger-than-life persona. Whether you like him or not, people pay attention to him. True. LaVar uses a reality TV approach. He's always in character. Everything is dramatized, and he gives the impression nothing is off-limits, including his wife's stroke last year. I mean, don't we have to draw the line somewhere? This is from Kent Babb of the Washington Post. In his suite on this afternoon, during an interview he insists is recorded, LaVar sidesteps questions that would humanize him and offsets the occasional tender moment about his wife, who recently suffered a stroke, saying, as long as she can smile, give a kiss and a hug, he says, I'm good. with striking displays of cruelty. So that was the nice stuff. Here's the cruelty. That's probably why she had the stroke, so she can be quiet for a minute, LeVar Ball said. Rather than slow his gait when they'd go to lunch in Chino Hills, he'd point out she's, quote, moving like an old-ass lady because she uses a cane, or advises Tina, his wife, to put your damn foot forward and walk. Quote, keep moving slow. I'm going to be inside with the AC blowing, he now recalls telling her. Shoot, I'm not waiting all day for you to walk across the street. You better get moving. LeVar will, during a one-hour interview, praise his wife's fortitude and progress, but more frequently, he brags about the harsh things he has told her over the past 15 months. His words draw shocked expressions from strangers, he says. Yeah, no kidding. And LeVar's own mother often leaves the room when he speaks to Tina this way. He does not apologize for this or much else, and he believes, or says he believes, Lonzo is the first but not the last of his sons to reach the NBA because of two things: LeVar's unreasonable expectations and God's plan, which apparently included giving Tina a near-fatal stroke. Quote, the Lord said, I'm going to tuck her away in this hospital for a minute, LeVar, till you finish doing what you're doing, he says, going on to suggest that his wife's affliction in no way disrupts their pursuit of success and that he never worried about her because, simply, he's too lucky for his wife to die young. Quote, she'll be a little, excuse my language, messed up. I censored that, messed up. But she ain't going to die, he says. And with a videographer maneuvering around the suite, it's difficult to know whether LeVar truly believes what he's saying or if it's just good for TV. Like, should that be off limits, right? Especially when you hear stories about his own mother leaving the room when he talks about his wife that way. Yeah, I know that context can be everything, guys. I get that. And you may say, well, you know, maybe his wife understands he's joking and he's compassionate enough that it balances out the jokes. But I mean, to even joke about saying that it was God's plan to tuck your wife away in a hospital with a stroke so you can go out there and finish what you're doing, LeVar. I mean, I don't know, man. That sounds off limits to me, no matter what kind of a relationship you have. Like, even if Tina, the wife, who, again, suffered a stroke 15 months ago, even if she may understand, this is who LeVar is. He's larger-than-life personality. I married him knowing he was like this. And we have enough tender moments in private for me to know that the on-the-camera stuff is just a character. You still don't think he crossed a line there when he tells a camera that God's plan was to give her a stroke so I can go out there and be wild and say whatever I want to say to tuck her away in a hospital bed? I don't know, man. I feel like there are, not to sound like a social justice warrior, because I try not to be that, but there got to be certain lines you do not cross, man. And hearing that LeVar's own mom will not even stay in the room when he's making comments like that about his wife, that to me sounds like this guy is crossing a line, right? And for a lot of the stuff that LeVar says about his kids joking, well, maybe not joking, that he can beat Michael Jordan in a game of one-on-one, I laugh and I enjoy a lot of that stuff. And sometimes I feel like the criticisms of LeVar are a little bit over the top. But when you're saying that about your wife who suffered a near-fatal stroke, that to me is too much, man. I don't think there's any way to justify that, Manny.
Yeah, no, Alex, of course. I'm 100% with you, because we do have to assume that his wife and, you know, his mom do have friends. And, you know, I'm pretty sure they can't believe what's going on here and there. But how about his son who plays for the Lakers? I mean, here's a guy who is supposed to be a genuine superstar in the upcoming seasons with the LA Lakers, and yet your father just doesn't seem to know when to shut up.
Serious question here. Will LeBron James, do you think this might move the needle for LeBron to say, you know what, yeah, if you guys can, yeah, I know you have to clear a little bit of cap space to get me, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard here this summer. Maybe Lonzo Ball, maybe that's the guy, that's the young player you look to trade here to clear some cap room, right? And the Lakers don't have to clear that much. But I think someone is going to have to be a cap casualty. Like, do you think LeBron James wants to be associated with that circus? Like, do you think LeBron James wants to go to a team where the father of one of your players is committing this kind of buffoonery? Like, do you think he wants that sort of a distraction or a sideshow for the team that he's playing for? Yeah, honestly, I think we've had enough evidence over the last 4 years of LeBron pulling the strings and encouraging trades to happen, it would not surprise me if LeBron James may say, you know what, maybe Lonzo's not one of the guys that I want to play with once I try and build my next super team here with Kawhi Leonard and with Paul George in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Alex, but I'm sure if Jeannie Buss gets a call from LeBron James, and listen, I really want to go to the Lakers, but it seems like your situation with your first-year player there is now getting out of hand. I'm pretty sure she'll right away do something about it, because to get a LeBron James on your team is pretty much set that you'll be going deep into the season.
Yeah, she's not hesitating over that at all.
No, and she shouldn't at all, because, you know, LeVar Ball is not the L.A. Lakers. I mean, we seem to forget this woman cut ties with Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, Magic Johnson was LeBron James back in the day for the Lakers. Are you kidding me?
She had to cut ties with members of her own family, right? Like, that can't be easy.
Okay, but so she made the tough decision, which is business.
So here's another perspective on LeVar Ball. I mean, listen, I'm open to all opinions. I'm not sure about this one, but maybe you're onto something if it's like using humor as a way to cope with stuff. Donnie, you have to sometimes think maybe that's his way of getting over his wife's stroke, that maybe making jokes about it is kind of a way for him to bring levity. Maybe.
That's not human, is it?
Well, if that's his way of coping with it, you can't deny it looks really bad publicly. Like, you can't deny it's a really, really dreadful PR strategy, right? Like, if it maybe, and okay, look, just to play on that train of thought, maybe for LeVar Ball, the only way to keep myself from breaking into tears when the cameras are on me talking about my wife is for me to make jokes and kind of belittle the situation. Maybe that is his way of keeping a straight face. If that's his method of dealing with it, you got to admit it looks terrible. Friday tradition, my top three weekend predictions. I've got a soccer prediction for you, which I feel very strongly about. I've got an NBA-related prediction for you, and I have an NFL prediction for you. The Alex Dono Show continues. Top three weekend predictions next. Just a few minutes away from top three lists for tonight, Dono's top three. Weekend predictions, man. Put myself out there. My weekend predictions last week were pretty dreadful. I'm not going to lie to you. I included in that Justify falling short and not completing the Triple Crown. I was dead wrong about that. I included Terrell Owens having a change of heart and deciding to go to his Hall of Fame induction. I guess that could still happen. Hasn't happened yet. But I did get the NBA Finals right. I predicted sweep for the Golden State Warriors. Now, the second part of it was, which I think is null and void, I predicted last week that LeBron would score 40 and still lose. I didn't know about the hand injury, though, right? Like, that information, much like the gamblers out there, many of which took the over in points for LeBron, 37, over 37, many of the gamblers out there thought, well, surely Cleveland will salvage a game in this series and win game four. I didn't feel that way, but a lot of gamblers did. So for those who place bets on Cleveland and on LeBron's points, not knowing he was concealing an injury, had to feel pretty bad about that. So I think that also made my prediction of 40 points from LeBron null and void, because I didn't know he took out his frustration on the damn whiteboard. I didn't know that the one guy who can stop LeBron is the damn whiteboard. I didn't know that. I didn't know that happened to him. So I feel like only the part about Golden State sweeping the series should actually count for me. So I will get back to that. But big news of the day, first reported by Yahoo Sports. Kawhi Leonard does want to be traded by the San Antonio Spurs. I don't think that's very shocking, right? Given the controversy and the feud that he had with San Antonio over that quad injury last year and the way they handled it, shouldn't be surprised to see that Kawhi Leonard wants out. This from Chris Haynes of ESPN. Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio, a league source tells us. Adrian Wojnarowski, San Antonio's Kawhi Leonard has Los Angeles, preferably the Lakers, as the center of his preferences for a trade destination. Leonard and the Spurs just never got on the same page about that injury. It's easy to see how a simple, though important, disagreement spiraled into something larger and alienated Leonard. San Antonio's market size probably didn't help the situation either. I also wouldn't have been impressed with the Spurs team building if I were Leonard. When healthy, Leonard is a 26-year-old superstar. Yeah, I mean, you think about that. He's been playing at a high level in this league for such a long time, you almost forget he's still only 26, right? Like, compare that to You know, LeBron James still best in the world at 33. Kawhi Leonard, after LeBron, probably the second best two-way player in the league, right? If you include the offense and defense, Kawhi probably the second best two-way player in the league after LeBron James. And he's still very much in his athletic prime at 26 years old. Now, San Antonio, they obviously do not want to help the Lakers, right? They do not want to willingly send Kawhi to the Lakers to team up with LeBron and Paul George. They would rather not be complicit in creating the next big superpower in the Western Conference. But I'm telling you, they're not going to have much of a choice. I'm telling you, they're not going to have much of a choice unless they're so spiteful that they just want to keep Kawhi off the Lakers for 1 year. That they hold him high. He's got 1 year left in his deal in San Antonio. It's not like he's locked up for the next 3 years, right? If they want to hold him hostage for 1 year to keep him off the Lakers just out of spite, then they're going to lose him for nothing to the Lakers a year from now anyway. So if you want to get something for the guy, well, Donna, why don't they trade him to another team? Here's the problem. He's killing that leverage, right? Because if Kawhi Leonard has now come out and said, the only team I'm going to sign a long-term extension with is Los Angeles, right? If you want to trade me somewhere else, that's a one-year rental. So the one-year rental is going to scare other teams away from the equation, right? Because you typically don't want to trade valuable assets for a great player who has already told you, I'm here for 1 year, and then I'm splitting for Hollywood, right? So that makes it very difficult for the San Antonio Spurs to find another willing trade partner. They can hold this up out of spite if they want to, right? But if you don't want to just lose him for nothing to Los Angeles next year anyway, their hands may be tied to trade him to Los Angeles now and at least get something in return for the guy.
You know what I'd want?
What?
Give me either Julius Randle or the other kid from Duke. I forget his name.
Ooh, I'm drawing a blank on that as well.
Yeah, he's Ingram.
Yes, Ingram.
Give me either Randle and Ingram.
Nice pieces. Yeah. Huh? Very nice pieces.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They're great pieces around a team.
Yeah.
That if you was to put Kawhi, LeBron, and Paul George together, it would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give me one of those two pieces. Give me three consecutive picks of yours next season plus cash.
And are are you interested in Lonzo Ball while you're at it?
There you go. Hey, LeBron doesn't want to come because of Lonzo Ball. There you go, Lonzo. You're in a deal for San Antonio. Bye-bye.
And if you need any proof that the Lakers are ready to pounce on this, this was a really interesting report today. This is a great spot by Tania Ganguly. So, okay, I'll get to her tweet in a second. Is Magic Johnson already preparing plans for a pursuit of Kawhi Leonard? The Los Angeles Lakers held a pre-draft workout for prospect DeAnthony Melton and had some players working out on Friday, earlier today. Reporters were there, too. And LA Times Tania Ganguly noted that Magic Johnson had run off the court right around the time the Kawhi trade reports emerged. We are at a Lakers workout right now. By the way, Magic Johnson just ran off the court. Maybe he went to go get Kawhi, right? That would be some coincidence. So the news breaks that Kawhi Leonard announces, I want to be traded. I want off the San Antonio Spurs. Somebody whispers that news in Magic Johnson's ear while he's on the court watching a prospect work out. He sprints to the back to start making phone calls. That's got to be how that went down. That Magic Johnson said, okay, the window is now opening to get Kawhi to Los Angeles. I need to pounce on this as quickly as possible. And yeah, I know Magic has been, he's been in hot water for tampering before, but this is not tampering because you're allowed to discuss trades, right? This is not a free agent. So let's be very clear on that, right? Because you see this, oh, Magic, he's working behind the scenes to woo Kawhi, free agent tampering. It's not tampering when you're discussing trades because you acquire Kawhi via trade from the Spurs, not via, you're not negotiating with a free agent. You're talking to a guy who may want to be traded there. So there's no tampering in that spot. All right, my friends. Historically, I bat about 660 on this. Two-thirds of the time, I'm right every time. Didn't work out that well for me last week, but I'm feeling a comeback. I'm feeling a bounce back. I'm feeling 3 for 3 this time. It's time for another Dono's Top 3 Weekend Predictions.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's Top 3 on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
I'm feeling good about this one. Talking to a lot of experts about this, and based on what I saw in recent qualifying matches, Manny, I think maybe you'll like this one, or at least be intrigued by it, right? My first weekend prediction. We like to start from number three, work the way up to number one. My first weekend prediction. Iceland will defeat Argentina tomorrow.
I love it.
In their Group D opener. The Vikings. Skol!
Skol!
They will defeat Argentina tomorrow, sure. It's also worth noting that Iceland has lost their past four matches overall. They've dipped in form recently after their magic Euro run 2 years ago. But have you seen Argentina's recent form? That Lionel Messi has had, I mean, he had to save that team just to get into the World Cup. Argentina is a collection of individuals. They're not a team. I expect Argentina, Lionel Messi aside, to be the flop of this World Cup. And that will start tomorrow. The Vikings of Iceland, a nation of 330,000 people, will catch Messi's group of misfits off guard tomorrow. And Iceland, I'm predicting a 2-1 victory. And God, I cannot wait to hear the Icelandic call. Is my man Gumi Ben still working those calls for Iceland? Greatest play-by-play man who ever lived. Just screams. You got to pull up for later in the show the call from Gumi Ben in the Euro.
You might want to hear Portugal's call of Ronaldo's goal.
Ooh, that may be good too.
I will get that during the break.
Yeah, we heard the Spanish call by Andres Cantor earlier, but I would like that Portuguese call to go with that. But no, I am predicting Iceland will shock the Argentines tomorrow and win that Group D opener and then really put the pressure on Messi to get out of the group in a very tough group, by the way. Got to contend with Croatia, got to contend with Nigeria. By the way, I've decided something. I know that I said last week that Croatia is my team in this World Cup. I'm going to amend that a little bit because I have decided, since I am a man of principle and my Azzurri, my Italian team, did not qualify for this World Cup, I don't want to be that guy who just picks a random team to root for and will carry them through the cup. I don't want to be that guy. Look, I learned something about myself today, Manny. I don't want to be Manny Chang, exactly. I don't want to be Manny. No, and honestly, what I learned about myself today was I sat and watched the better part of three games today, and especially captivated by the Spain-Portugal game, without having a horse in that race, right? I don't cheer for Spain. I don't cheer for Portugal. I'm not even a Cristiano Ronaldo fan. He's a tax cheat. I cannot support him morally.
He paid his fines.
After he got caught, sure.
Messi hasn't yet.
Well, Messi's an even bigger loser, right? But no, so I learned something today that I don't have to be rooting for anybody to enjoy this cup, right? Like I think that's what I figured out today, right? Because I'm watching Spain and Portugal, and I could not care less which team won that. It ended up being a draw, but I could not care less which team won that match. And so I realize I am mature enough to just watch a good soccer game, enjoy any outcome. I can watch this entire World Cup. I don't need to pick a team and celebrate with that team. I can just enjoy it. So I think what I am going to do a little bit is, and the reason why I had picked Croatia as my team was because two starters from Inter, the team that I root for, Inter Milan, are on the Croatian team, Ivan Perisic and Marcelo Brozovic. I'm still going to hope that they play well, right? Like I'm still going to say, you know, if Epic Brozo scores a couple of goals tomorrow, I'm going to cheer for him, enjoy that. Like I was rooting for Matias Vecino from Uruguay today because he plays for Inter. But I don't necessarily need to say I'm now a Croatia fan because I have too much respect for my team. I have too much respect for the Azzurri, even though they didn't qualify for this cup. Italy will rise, my friends, in 2022. Italy will rise like a phoenix from the ashes. So I don't need to pick another team. You over there, you keep trolling me over there.
So what time does Italy play tomorrow?
You're testing my patience, Chang. Prediction number two. Weekend prediction number two. The buzz of a possible LeBron James return to the Miami Heat will be completely dead by Monday. That's my prediction. That I won't be fielding text messages. Dono, I think Pat Riley is cooking something up here. I think this is going to happen. That buzz will be completely dead by Monday, along with all of our hopes and dreams of bringing LeBron back to South Beach. With the news today of Kawhi Leonard ready to bully his way to the Los Angeles Lakers via trade, plus LA's cap room with very minor manipulations necessary to sign both LeBron James and Paul George, the stars will totally align for the Lakers by the time the weekend is over. The Heat fans, myself included, will give up any hope and dream we have of bringing LeBron back to South Beach. It will be dead by Monday. Prediction number one. This one might be a little bit of a reach, but I think this is important, right? I think this is very important to throw out there. Jarvis Landry will reach out to Ryan Tannehill to apologize or at least clear the air. And if this happens, I hope we catch wind of it, right? I hope Jarvis Landry says something about this publicly, or Ryan Tannehill maybe, although I doubt he would say something about it publicly. Because at the end of the day, Jarvis Landry is an emotional guy, but I don't believe he's a bad person or a bad guy, right? So he said some things about Tannehill and the Dolphins quarterbacks that I believe were primarily motivated out of spite that he has towards the Dolphins front office for trading him, for not giving him that long-term extension he wanted. And I think he took out some of that frustration on his former quarterback. But an emotional, hot-headed guy, we know that about Landry. After several days to reflect on the media attention he got, which wasn't positive, I think Jarvis Landry at some point, hopefully by the end of this weekend, so I'm correct, will feel the need to reach out to Ryan Tannehill, clear the air, if not apologize. Like, listen, some things were said. I just want you to know you're my boy. I just want you to know I didn't mean it that way. I got a little bit overboard on this stuff. You see all those pictures floating around of the fishing trips that they took together, he and Tannehill. I don't think that was coming from a good place from Jarvis Landry. Yes, Donna, you're correct that the LeBron talk will vanish by Monday. Actually, few people ever believed there was a chance of LeBron's return. I think more people than you think thought there was a chance of that, including the Vegas sports books, but it officially dies by Monday. The Alex Donner Show continues next. We'll take some calls and text after this on QAM.
Fix. Right then and there. What do you do? What can you do? Go to radio.com.
Download it today to listen to us.
Anytime, anywhere.
Radio.com.
I don't say a word with them. I grind and now I got what I deserve. Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. When I bought the ass tomorrow, y'all thought it was raining. Flexing on these. I'm like Popeye.
A couple of people have already ripped me for this today, but I honestly feel that a Los Angeles Lakers team anchored by LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, I think that team is a favorite even over the Golden State Warriors. Defense, two-way players, right? Because I talked about how I think Kawhi Leonard, after LeBron James, is the best two-way player in the NBA if you combine both the defense and the offense. Paul George is in that conversation as well. You put those three together, hardworking, two-way players with, you know, great cardio to play 45, 48 minutes. I know for Kawhi, he's still recovering from the quad injury that created all this controversy with San Antonio. But assuming he comes back healthy, you've got a 26-year-old superstar two-way player. I think that the combination of impossible to guard forwards to go along with the defense that they could play on Kevin Durant would make that the favorite over Golden State, despite KD's ability to score, despite Steph Curry's ability to hit circus three-pointers from anywhere. You know, Draymond Green, very good defensive player. Klay Thompson, a good streaky shooter when he's on nights, but sometimes he's inconsistent. I would take the trio of LeBron, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard over the big four in Golden State. I think that theorized Lakers team, it doesn't mean they're not going to have to fight like hell to get through the West, because Golden State will be, of course, a tough out. It's a generational team. But I think if you can put LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George together, that to me becomes the favorite in the Western Conference and thus the favorite in the NBA.
And of course, Alex, nothing has been yet set yet, but if you also include Ingram with Julius Randle, if they somehow end up staying on that team, oh my goodness, give me the LA Lakers all day.
And here's something from a Pro Basketball Talk piece on what, you know, the Lakers, the crazy thing with the cap room that they have, they don't have to sacrifice much to make that happen, right? Of course, the potential move would require much of the roster's depth, some of the roster's depth be depleted at least. Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma could be sent elsewhere to make this work with Brandon Ingram staying put. So he could stay put, but Ball and Kuzma could become cap casualties to facilitate the room to get these three max players in there. But the Lakers are not that far from it, right? And that, to me, is what makes that such a great destination, because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about what the Lakers would be with LeBron James and Paul George, not even including Kawhi Leonard in that scenario, saying that, well, yeah, that may become LeBron's lifestyle destination, right? That if he cares more about being in Hollywood, being comfortable in Los Angeles, where he already has two mansions, you hear rumors about his kids enrolling in schools in L.A., which may not be true. I know that those have been, I mean, they may happen, but the rumors as they were presented may not be true. But he does have two mansions there, and he is an entertainment mogul with the uninterrupted service now, and he wants to be in Space Jam 2. That, you know, L.A., Hollywood checks off a lot of the boxes for him, but up until the Kawhi Leonard stuff came out today, it didn't seem to check off the basketball box, right? That the better basketball destinations would still feel like Houston or Philadelphia or, God forbid, even Golden State if he just wanted to sell his soul and join all those other guys there on a super on the most super team we've ever seen. But I think if and it's still an if, right? Because San Antonio does have to play ball here a little bit. Their hands are going to be tied. But if Kawhi makes it clear, 1 year left on his deal only, if he makes it clear, the only team I am going to sign a long-term extension with is Los Angeles. I want you to trade me. I want you to trade me there. That takes away a lot of San Antonio's leverage to get a good offer from any other team, because that becomes a one-year rental. So, okay, fine. If you want to keep him because he's under contract, if you want to keep him for one more year, knowing you lose him for nothing to Los Angeles next year, you're entitled to do that out of spite, but that maybe isn't the best move for your basketball team long term, right? Because he's going to end up going to Los Angeles anyway after that deal is done. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mike. You're on QAM. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Dono?
Good, man. How about you?
Not too bad. Another perfect day out here. Talking from a Heat perspective, because I'm a diehard Heat fan, why not the Heat throw their hat in there? First off,
oh, they should, and they will. I'm sure they'll throw their hat in there. But the problem is,
I want to make an argument.
Okay, go ahead.
For them, if you're the Lakers, you can sign them outright. Why give up anything? First off, I don't think the Spurs would trade him to him because they're the Spurs and Lakers are rivals. Pop doesn't want to make them stronger, and I don't think he wants doing it. I think if they're going to move Kawhi, they're going to move him out east. And if you're the Celtics, with no guarantee that Kawhi is going to sign there, if he's saying that he's only going to sign with Lakers, which, by the way, I want to see how that's going to work out because of the salary structure giving George and LeBron max deals.
Well, right there, you answered your first question. Right. Why would the Lakers give up pieces now? Because they need to clear money to sign Kawhi Leonard anyway, so they wouldn't mind giving up something now.
And then also Boston, you could work it in the angle of Gordon Hayward outright for Kawhi or Kyrie, either one, but like you said, if he doesn't do a sign-in trade and there's no guarantee they're going to lose him, Boston would do it. Now, here's where my angle comes in for the Heat argument.
Mm-hmm.
We have good young players in, you know, Jay Rich, Winslow, and Bam. But, you know, as Riley said, he's not married to any one of these guys. So if you're the Spurs, you can send them out east. You can get a bunch of decent, solid young talents, you know, and you could free up that money that you're not going to pay Kawhi. They can go out and sign players this upcoming offseason. So why not, if you're from the Heat perspective, it work out both, don't you think? Or is it they don't have anything that the San Antonio would want? Because if I'm looking at these players, you know, a guy like Jay Rich, he can come to his own. Winslow, Bam, do you think they would be interested at all?
Or well, I think they would, especially from the point that you bring up that that they would prefer to send him east than to send him to L.A. no matter what. So maybe they would say, you know what, if we are going to lose him for nothing, yeah, you know, Bam Adebayo, Jay Rich doesn't look so bad at this point, that maybe they could play ball there. Again, it is, and it's not to say another team from the East like Boston, who has all the assets in the world. I think Boston, with their draft picks and their young players, could make a better offer. So right there, that would hurt the Heat.
The thing is, I don't think Ainge would make that deal with no commitment from Kawhi. I think the
so then do you think Pat Riley should then with no commitment?
Yeah,
from
I
Kawhi?
Think they would. That's where my main argument was going to go.
Okay.
At this point, I think Miami is one of the few teams that will make the the deal for Kawhi with no agreement that he would re-sign here. Because I think if he say hypothetically they made a deal, he came and played for the Heat for the season, I think they can convince him to stay when he sees the ownership from Mickey, from Pat, and then Spo is a great coach to play for. Obviously, it's a destination city, and they're a fun team to watch. They play hard. They got good nucleus talent. I think they can convince Kawhi to stay, and I think they can work on him throughout the season, and I think you got to commit for him because, you know, say hypothetically he went to L.A. He's not a flashy guy. He's not a guy that talks. He hardly ever speaks. The guy's a mute. You don't hear nothing from him. And I think Miami, even though it's a flashy city, he can be more hidden out here. So I think that would also work in his favor, even though he's from L.A., but he doesn't like all that nonsense, you know, social media and constantly being, you know, with the paparazzi out there. It's madness out there. So I think they could work him into, if he came out here, I think he would enjoy playing for the Heat. And I think they can convince him with no commitment. And if it doesn't work, then you know what? You know, the Heat aren't married to any one of these guys. It's not like they have a core nucleus that they want going forward. They would just have that cap space freed up.
You know, that's actually that part of it right there, I thought, is a really good point. That,
right,
you know, on the one hand, like, okay, I'm thinking just as a Heat fan, it would kind of suck to lose Richardson and Adebayo, and just to bring in a guy who may not stay there. But then on the other hand, you're not married to the. I don't think any of those guys are true franchise players. And then after Leonard leaves, you've got a bunch of cap space open up anyway.
So yeah, and then he can pack and finally go out and sign some big fish because they're going to be big fish in 2019 season as well. So that's an argument awake. I know it's a long shot, and some people are around here workplace are saying I'm a delusional Heat fan, but I mean they're probably. I'm honestly, is there another team without commitment that he would re-sign? I don't think even Boston, with even all the talent and picks that they have, they're not going to make that move. You know, I think the Heat are the only team because they realize they don't have a franchise building block or young talent they're looking at as they can build long term. They got nice pieces, but nothing, you know, set in stone like the Celtics or even the Lakers, who don't have to give up those pieces, who could just sign him out next year if he walks. So that's the only viewpoint. So good talking to you, though.
Good talking to you, man. I mean, listen, you make an interesting case. I still don't think the Heat has the firepower to do that, unless, like he said, this is a big if. If every other team in the East is scared off by the one-year commitment only, and the Spurs are just so dead set against sending him to L.A. where he wants to go that they send him to Miami. But that also includes, honest question for Heat fans, is that a gamble on yourselves you're worth taking, right? To trade potentially three of your best young players away for Kawhi Leonard when it's a better than 50% chance he doesn't stay here next year. I know that what the caller said was that, hey, he thinks a year in Miami where he will love the city. And it's not like he doesn't know the city. He was here last week eating at Chipotle in Aventura. So I think he's already familiar with the city, but that he'll enjoy playing here so much. He'll enjoy the Heat culture. They can convince him to commit long term. That to me is kind of a stretch because, again, if you're trading away Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, maybe Justice Winslow or Magruder or maybe even Deion Waiters, like a combination of those three players just to get him, then Kawhi Leonard comes over here to pretty subpar team outside of Kawhi Leonard, right? Like Kawhi Leonard can ball, but that doesn't become a championship team. That doesn't become even, you know, questionable whether that's even an Eastern Conference champion caliber, Eastern Conference Finals caliber team. So if you come to a depleted team that is not going to go that far in the playoffs, then how do you convince Kawhi to stay here long term? Like it still sounds to me like it's a 1 year rental no matter what.
And for the Heat's perspective, Alex, is this team one, you know, player away from competing in the NBA Finals?
Only if that player is LeBron James.
Then no, I don't want him.
Right.
Move on.
Exactly. So to me, if trading three of your best players, and again, none of the best players on the Heat are great. You have one all-star, and he's only an all-star because two other guys got hurt. That was Goran Dragic, right? So Pat Riley is not married to any of the players on this roster, but still, you trade away a handful of your best young players to San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard then does not turn you into a championship team.
Kawhi and LeBron in New York?
Oh, I hate you for even bringing that up. I know our boy Fizdale wants that.
And I know our boy Rick and Davey, who's on line five, is waiting to talk about that.
Ooh, we'll get to that and more next year on QAM.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.